Our next topic is selective landlord and tenant issues in bankruptcy, and we've got two attorneys who will be presenting this topic. Emily Flynn Moralia is an associate at Jackson Walker here in Houston. She'll be joined by a partner in Jackson Walker's Houston office, Bruce Rosinski. Join me in welcoming them, please.
So we're going to, as she said, we're going to be discussing some landlord and tenant issues in bankruptcy. I think we'll start with just some bankruptcy basics quickly. So first, once a debtor files for bankruptcy, they have to voluntarily file certain disclosures about the debtor entities. So they have to file their schedules, which is a list of assets and liabilities, and executory contracts, which including leases, and also the statements of financial affairs, which is just details on the debtor's past financial activities. These are typically, they're required under the code to be filed within 14 days of filing for bankruptcy, but usually debtors request an extension. And then there's the Section 341 meeting of the creditors. So it's usually held after the schedules and statements are filed. And this is a meeting where all of the creditors are invited, and it's held by the U.S. trustee, and it's with a representative of the debtor. And all questions are asked under oath, and any creditor can ask any question that they would like. So once a debtor files for bankruptcy, the automatic stay applies. This is one of the biggest protections that a debtor receives from filing bankruptcy. So it prohibits a creditor from taking a variety of actions, including filing or continuing litigation, creating, perfecting, or enforcing liens, set-offs, terminating leases or contracts. So a party may file a motion for relief from the stay for cause, and without cause, there's no way for a party to be able to take any action against the debtor. I'll get into the specifics of how the automatic stay affects landlords and tenants in a little bit. So next is cash collateral. Cash collateral is just cash that is subject to creditor liens. It cannot be used without the consent of each creditor holding a lien on the cash or a court order authorizing the use of the cash collateral. Next is proof of claims. This is very important. When a debtor files for bankruptcy, any creditor should file a proof of claim in order to preserve their claims against the debtor. So in the Southern District, there's actually a rule that automatically sets the general bar date for proof of claims to 90 days after the first set date of the 341 meeting. However, our debtors can file a motion to shorten the bar date. There's also a rejection damages bar date that will usually be set by the court, and that's specifically for when a lease is rejected, a lease or contract is rejected. It's usually about 30 days after the entry of an order rejecting a lease. So types of claims, there are admin claims. Well, there's multiple types of claims, but the two that we've pointed out here are admin claims and secured claims. Admin claims are obligations of the debtor that arise after the bankruptcy filing. So this would include any unpaid rent post-petition. So once the debtor files for bankruptcy, if they don't pay rent after that filing, the unpaid rent would be considered an admin claim. There are also secured claims, and these are claims that are secured by some kind of collateral. For landlords, that would usually be like a security deposit or a letter of credit. The way that under the way that the claims are paid out, secured claims would be paid first, then admin claims, and then general unsecured claims would be paid after that.